talk to you about this very exciting joint OSHA-NIOSH project. And this is it. It's the Safety and Health Information Bulletin on the use of blunt tip suture needles to decrease percutaneous injuries to surgical personnel. This was issued in April of this year. And I'm going to refer to this, as you see, as a SHIB, because otherwise it's just too long to talk about it. So I'm going to talk about the this document, and then Larry Reed, who's from NIOSH, is going to tell you about our very ambitious dissemination plan for it, which I think is, again, an unusual. The whole thing is really unusual. This document involved the input of a whole lot of people, and it was really an excellent example of interagency cooperation. OSHA and NIOSH work together very effectively on this, and we hope to continue this. And let me point out the other two members of our team, Elise Handelman, who is the director of the Office of Occupational Nursing at OSHA. That's the office I'm in, so she is my boss. And Walter Alarcon, who is with NIOSH in the Division of Surveillance, Hazard Evaluation, and Field Studies. So we talked about it being a joint effort. There were a lot of categories of, as you can see, of workers who looked at this. There was a very ambitious review process. We got a lot of advice from people on it, and the public also had an opportunity to comment on it. The start of it actually was a workshop that NIOSH held about 2.5 years ago on occupational exposures, occupational blood exposures, and there was a lot of interest expressed at this meeting about OR safety, and so that's why we took it from there and started it. Now, this is a language that comes right from the SHIB. It first of all talks about the purpose, and we're describing the hazard and talking and saying that the blunt suture needles are effective in decreasing the injury, and of course we talk about OSHA's requirement to use safer medical devices where clinically appropriate. We did our research and did a literature review, and these are some of the facts we came up with, that the sharp tip suture needles just are way ahead of, as far as the top injury source in the OR, and most of these injuries seem to come from the suturing of muscle and fascia, and it puts a whole bunch of surgical people at risk, people actually in and out of the OR. A lot of people are at risk of injuries from suture needles. As you know, these injuries expose the workers to bloodborne infectious diseases, and our standard says that the employers must protect employees against these exposures. Just as a departure from worker safety, there's also an issue of patient safety here, because there have been cases of infected surgeons who have infected the patients when they get sticks while working inside the patient's body cavities. So that's another issue. We were we got a lot of energy from this American College of Surgeons statement, which was November of 2005. They came out and said that all the evidence shows that the blunt suture needles reduce injuries, and then they made a recommendation. They supported the use of these blunt suture needles for suturing fascia. And then the other six members of this Council on Surgical and Perioperative Surgery endorsed this position. And these are groups like the Association of Perioperative Registered Nurses and the American Association of Anesthesiologists. So influential groups, and it was great for us to have the support of these organizations. The American College of Surgeons actually came out last July and slightly expanded their recommendation and said now they said they recommend the use for not only fascia but muscle. So we are definitely making progress on this. We're very pleased about it. Now, why did we issue this SHIB? Well, as you know, the OSHA Bloodborne Pathogen Standard requires the use of engineering and work practice controls to eliminate or minimize occupational exposure, and it also requires the evaluation and implementation of the safer devices that are appropriate, available, and effective. NIOSH recommends that the hierarchy of controls be used in the prioritization of the blood exposure prevention. we all agree, both agencies and everyone else agree, that blunt tip suture needles are an example of engineering controls. So therefore, they should be evaluated and selected. And the other part is that they really have very poor, the most recent data shows very poor market, what you call market, market penetration. 3% of the sales in 2004 were blunt suture needles. So the summary of it is, why to use blunt tip suture needles? Because they reduce needle sticks, because they can be used to suture the less dense internal tissue like muscle and fascia, because they're a safety engineered device, and because they have been found to be technically satisfactory when used appropriately. And we, in the SHIB, we feature a CDC study, which was done in three hospitals in New York between April of 1993 and June of 1994. It's published in MWR in 1997. And this study showed, this was GYN surgical procedures, and it showed a significant reduction of the injury rate when the blunt tip suture needles were used. And the other part of it was that there were minimal clinical adverse effects, and the blunt needles were generally accepted by participating surgeons. And here is the chart which accompanied the article in MWR. And the graph, you can see the on the horizontal axis are the periods, time period. And then to the left of the vertical axis are the injury rates per 100 procedures. On the right are the percent of blunt suture needles used. And you can see those blue bars are the percent. So you can see a very clear, and the little green line, the injuries, you can see a very clear relationship there. So we think that's quite a powerful study. Now the question is, how does this affect OSHA enforcement? And the answer is, it makes no change to OSHA enforcement. This is the same thing we've been saying forever. It's not a departure from standard at all, and there are no new requirements. Actually, this SHIB is not an enforcement document. Standard is an enforcement document. So, to talk about enforcement, the decision will be made on a case-by-case basis, which it always is. But of course, it's the thing about engineering and work practice control that being required when they can be used. We do recognize that they're not, these blunt tip suture needles are not appropriate for all procedures. The conventional sharp tip needles are currently used for a lot of the other uses of sutures, and OSHA recognizes that if using a safer device does harm to either patient safety or medical integrity, it's not required. I think the point here is that which is one of the interesting things about the bloodborne pathogen standard. Technological advances are very, very significant here. And when the standard was first issued in 1991, there weren't so many devices, so there was less, employers maybe could get away with more, but now every year there's more and more safer devices out there, so they really need to be evaluated and endorsed by these groups. So how do they maintain compliance? Just the way, again, there's no change here. Evaluating the use of suture needles and implementing appropriate ones, including the frontline employees, which would be the OR personnel, and providing employee training. And then the exposure control plan, again, which they should be doing, documenting the selection process and the employee training, and also documenting when they discover it's not feasible. They have to say either why or why not they're using it. And then if they're not using it, they need to implement alternate devices. So that is my summary of the SHIB. And now I'm going to let Larry talk to you about our big dissemination plan.
Thank you, Sheila. And I just want to reiterate what a great collaborative partnership this has been between OSHA and NIOSH. It's very unusual, certainly within the last few years, for us to have a jointly published document, and I'm delighted at that. And you'll see later on the partnership is much beyond the two agencies. You've all heard the important phrase in real estate, location, location, location. Well, I'm here to talk about what we want to do next, which is impact, translating this important information to on a national scale and perhaps even on an international scale. What we've done so far, I'll just breeze through these. I know Jane wants to get us back on track. So the usual things we do in press releases on sort of showing the world what we've done here, electronic dissemination through partnerships and listservs. I won't go into that in detail. Presentations such as the one here today. Also, translation of the document. This is an important one because obviously there are, we believe, many Spanish-speaking workers, both in the U.S. as well as Spanish-speaking countries, where we can have an impact with a translated version of this, which is ongoing and in the process of being validated, actually, at this point. Also, the document itself, and I have some extra copies that I'll leave at the table here that's in the pre-printed version. I found in reading it last night a few minor technical errors that we will correct before it goes to press. But it's in the process now being formatted. And for hard copy, it's obviously downloadable and will be and is now and will be downloadable forever from both the NOSH and OSHA websites that I'll show you in a few moments. But also for the old school people like myself and others, we'll have a printed version of it. The document itself looks like this. Not important really what it looks like, but what it says. And Sheila's done a great job of telling you what it says. The targeted mass dissemination to surgical workers as well as employers. And one area that we haven't done such a good job of, but we will in the future, is working with the manufacturers. As Sheila said, only 3% of needles for operating room use are our blunt tip needles. We want to change that, and that's going to be sort of shifting, you know, changing the direction of the ship, so to speak, the other four-letter word. I have to be careful how I pronounce ship. Sheila and Elise warned me of speaking too fastly about ships. The other interesting thing about this, the dissemination strategy here for the printed version of this, it will be a large mailing, will be that this is a joint document for a jointly signed letter by the director of NIOSH, Dr. Howard, as well as Mr. Falk. So we think that will carry some impact. Partnering. I want to spend a moment just talking about this slide because it was not only a great partnership between OSHA and NIOSH, but it was also an amazing partnership. We had extremely strong support from the ACS. Without that, this ship may not have been produced, and it would not have had the impact, or will not have had the impact that without the strong support of both the ACS, the AORN, and lastly, we are in the process of partnering with the Joint Commission on the Accreditation of Healthcare Organizations, JACO. The real driver for this, we believe, will be getting involvement of JACO to help implement this on a national scale. NIOSH will also implement in the surveillance branch a surveillance research study and to track the national impact of this that we hope to have the equivalent to the New York City data that you saw earlier from Sheila. Conclusions. Clinical use and scientific studies have established the effectiveness of blunt tip needles, that's clear, and decreasing the risk of needle stick injuries. We will, OSHA and NIOSH are strongly encouraging the use of blunt tip needles wherever feasible and appropriate to decrease needle stick injuries. And lastly, most importantly, we are partnering with key organizations and agencies to implement this on a national scale. That I can't emphasize how important that is, not only working with the manufacturers, but most importantly, continuing the partnerships with AORN and ACS and involving JACO. With that, any questions for either Sheila or me, or if Jane would prefer, we can wait.